Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Friday, August 16, 2013, and I'm your host, Leanne McAdoo. Here's a look at what's coming up tonight.
Tonight, Congress has a pang of conscience for backing Egyptian generals. Then, mainstream media gets banned from GOP debates. And WikiLeaks Assange backs Rand Paul. That's next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
I'll tell you one thing. I've got every right to destroy the image of the so-called emperor, and I'll do it any time I please. You understand that, you scumbag New World Order filth?
Tonight's top story. Rand Paul slams Congress for funding Egypt's generals. He asked them, how does your conscience feel now? This is something that those who voted in Congress are going to have to live with. The question is, how does their conscience feel as they see photographs of tanks rolling over Egyptian civilians? Now, the official Egyptian death toll is at 638 and climbing, and the legislation that the Kentucky Libertarian was talking about was an amendment to suspend aid to Egypt until the country could participate in free and fair elections. His main point was that not only do we need that money here, but it's illegal to send aid to countries that were involved in a military coup. But nevertheless, Republicans and Democrats rejected it by an overwhelming 86-13 vote. Republican Senator John McCain said at the time, it would be a terrific mistake for the United States to send a message to Egypt that you're on your own. I urge my colleagues to vote to table the Paul Amendment. Earlier today, President Obama announced the cancellation of a joint U.S. military exercise with Egypt, but he did not cut off the $1.3 billion in military aid the U.S. provides to the country. Paul said, that's too little, too late. The president of the Council on Foreign Relations said that this mindset, that if you don't give people money and weapons, then you're not engaged, is bizarre. I want to engage with the world, I just don't want to be engaged in battle. For those who think more weapons is engaging us with the Egyptian people, ask an Egyptian. When you're protesting in the streets and you're run over by an American tank, you're not going to be appreciative of American engagement. During a live Q&A call with WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange earlier today, he praised Matt Drudge for breaking through the establishment media's censorship in the U.S., and he also heralded Ron Paul and the Libertarian Party as the only hope for the future of America. It is a result of the self-censorship of the establishment press in the U.S. that gave Matt Drudge such a platform, and of course, he should be applauded for breaking a lot of that censorship. The WikiLeaks founder then said, I'm a big admirer of Ron Paul and Rand Paul for their very principled positions in the U.S. Congress on a number of issues. Asked what he thought of the groundswell of support from young people for Ron and Rand, Assange noted that virtually every Democrat in Congress had been co-opted by the Obama administration or co-opted by D.C. social networks, while the establishment wing of the Republican Party was completely in bed with the war industry. Both parties had joined forces to adopt an approach that compromises the future of U.S. democracy. The libertarian aspect of the Republican Party is presently the only useful political voice in the U.S. Congress. It will be the driver that shifts the United States around. Now, we already know that media outlets secretly propagate on behalf of their network's political favorite. But now these political parties are calling out media outlets for their blatant political support. The GOP is voting to ban NBC and CNN from the debates. The Republican National Committee voted unanimously Friday to pull the group's partnership with the networks for the 2016 primary debates unless the networks kill their planned films on Hillary Clinton. According to the resolution called In Support of Media Objectivity and Accountability, the RNC called the planned films political favoritism and accused NBC and CNN of airing programming that amounts to little more than extended commercials promoting former Secretary Clinton. The chairman argued that moving ahead with the movie projects was evidence that neither network could be trusted to be fair arbiters in the presidential debate. Where was the RNC when the networks were being blatantly biased by not allowing Ron Paul to participate in the debates during the 2012 elections? Now, spy equipment exists virtually everywhere. It's to keep us safe from terrorists. But now the establishment media is under attack. Washington Post managing editor said in a statement that for about 30 minutes Thursday morning, readers of some Washington Post stories were redirected to the website of the Syrian Electronic Army. The SEA has taken credit for a string of web attacks on media targets that it sees as sympathetic to Syria's rebels. Among the targets the group claims to have hacked are Twitter feeds of the AP, Al Jazeera English, and the BBC. Now, Kurt Nimmo wrote about an article. It's up at Infowars.com. He said that the cyber attack against the establishment media might be the next phase in the never-ending war on terror. He said it's interesting that Bashar al-Assad would oblige the United States with yet another excuse to militarily attack his country. So will this hack attack against the mainstream media signal the opportunity that Obama is looking for to push the internet kill switch?
Have you ever really considered your home's wireless security? How many devices do you have with wireless signals and radio frequencies going through your house? It's creepy enough that the government is spying on you. But imagine going into your toddler's room and hearing a man's voice cursing. One Houston family's baby monitor was hacked by a man who not only cursed at the child, but the parents too. And he had complete control of the camera.
It felt like somebody broke into our house. He said, wake up, Allison, you little...
The baby monitor is on a fixed signal, and as long as it's on, it can be hacked, just like all other monitoring devices. Miss Teen USA Cassidy Wolf has recently had her webcam hacked and has been threatened by her hacker, as he's saying he's going to post nude photos of her if he doesn't get a certain amount of money. If you're in a smart home, you're living a hacker's dream. They can hack into your alarm system, your garage doors, your water, your lights, and even your air conditioning, among other things. We've reported on TVs and cable boxes spying on people, but add in the baby monitor and factor in that cars can be hacked too.
You're going 199 miles per hour now, even though that's very apparently not the case.
Well, goes right from...
Turn the car off and on.
Okay.
So we just tricked the pre-collision system into thinking something very odd was happening, right? Because I was telling the car, we're going 199, and it was like, should I brake? Should I tighten the seatbelts? What should I do?
It went from like 201 mile an hour. It's like, I just ran into a brick wall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I ran into a brick wall.
And what you have is the terror threat of the future. Cybersecurity should be as important as your Second Amendment right. Oh, but don't worry. The government has it totally under control. At the industrial complex, the military industrial complex, they store all your data so they can keep tabs on you and make sure that you don't get out of line. No reason to be concerned, though. You trust your government, right? Just make sure that that creepy voice that's coming through your toddler's monitor isn't the voice of the IRS or the NSA. And when that hacker hacks into your alarm system, make sure that it's not the FBI, CIA, or even your local police, because they might actually have one of those 30,000 domestic drones that they purchased pointed at you, ready to use it as you try to break into your own home because they've hacked into your cell phone. Check out these two books, When Disaster Strikes and When Technology Fails. There's a special right now at InfoWarsStore.com. These books are by Matthew Stein, and they give you an insight on what to do when technology fails. I'm Gigi Arnetta with an InfoWars Nightly News Alert.
But hey, Miss Alabama says she feels safer being spied on, Miss Teen USA. So you better get your story straight if you want that crown, BB. But seriously, putting spy equipment in just about every single manufactured thing is going to mean that anybody and everybody, even little babies, can become a victim at some point. Now, yesterday we reported on the controversy surrounding a New Hampshire town that is trying to get a militarized vehicle from the Homeland Security to protect itself from domestic terrorists. Well, stick around, because after the break, David Knight will be interviewing an Operation Paul Revere entrant who also happens to be one of those Free Staters. And now for tonight's Daily Quote. This one comes from Henry Kissinger. He was addressing the General Assembly of the UN. Progress and peace and justice are attainable. So we say to all peoples and governments, let us fashion together a new world order. Oh, Henry Kissinger. Such a charming, pleasant man. All right, well, please consider supporting this transmission by becoming a member of Prison Planet TV. For $5.99 a month, you get all the movies, the DVDs, the rants, and even better, you can share your username and password with up to 10 other people. Sign up today. We'll be right back.
Now you can watch Alex Jones live at Infowars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
You can also browse the network, the Infowars Nightly News,
and over 60 movies and documentaries all together in one place.
You can watch the Alex Jones radio show live as it happens.
So check it out, Infowars.com/show.
Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gate, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with a new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
Civil disobedience campaigns, Shire Silver, actually winning elections, and watching each other's backs when the police get brutal. This is what freedom looks like in New Hampshire, the Live Free or Die state. And we've got a filmmaker that we're going to talk to today about the documentary that he entered into the Operation Paul Revere contest, The Free State Solution. We're going to be talking to Corey Kellyer about his documentary and about events that have just happened this last week about the police state coming to Concord, New Hampshire. Corey, thank you for joining us. It was a great documentary, a really interesting subject. I really liked it, and one of the things I really liked about this movie was the editing, so I'm real excited to talk to you about it. Now, you're not in New Hampshire, right? You're in Wisconsin, you were just saying?
Yeah, central Wisconsin, Stevens Point.
Wow. So how did you guys come about doing a documentary about the Free State Project in New Hampshire?
Well, the guy that did this one with me, Chris Fry, he and I had done a documentary back in 2009 called For Liberty. Mm-hmm. It was a documentary about, you know, the emerging Ron Paul movement and his run for president. And so after we did this, we didn't really have anything to do. So we're kind of putzing around trying to figure out what the next big film project would be. And we decided the Free State Project would be a good one because up to that point, nobody had done a really comprehensive documentary on the Free State Project.
That's right. Yeah, it's a topic I'm familiar with it because I'm familiar with the libertarian movement, but a lot of people haven't heard about it.
Yeah, that's right. And they put a lot of stuff on YouTube and things like, you know, their activities and stuff in New Hampshire, which is really good. And we had seen a lot of that, just being familiar with the movement. But, you know, nobody had put together like a real actual documentary. And so basically what we did was we went out there and met a bunch of people, saw all the really awesome things that they were doing out there, and we filmed all this footage. And I think this was back in like 2010 or something. Mm-hmm. So then we ended up coming back to Wisconsin, and I jumped into it right away and started doing the editing and everything. And then it just got shelved. All the, you know, we had a bunch of other projects and things just kind of fall into our laps, and we had to put it on the shelf for a while. And then when you guys did this, video contest, I wanted to do something for it, but didn't really have any ideas. And remember that we had all this great Free State Project footage. And so it was a great opportunity to finally sit down and throw it all together, or throw something together. I mean, there's so much stuff that we left out of there.
Oh, sure, yeah. But it really tells the story well. Now, you've got a film production company there in Wisconsin?
Well, no, not really. My partner, Chris Rye, he has Edit Lab Films that he's in charge of. I don't have anything personally. Mm-hmm. I have a YouTube channel, Master Hoopy-Doo. You know, so if anybody wants to see other videos, go watch Master Hoopy-Doo
Okay.
All right.
Well, what I really liked about this, like you said, it really did a great job of telling the story of the Free State Project. It does it very quickly in about 20 minutes because there's a lot of stuff to cover. It's a real interesting history. It started back about 2001, is that right, trying to get 20,000 people to move to New Hampshire?
Yeah, it just started off as an idea that Jason Sorens had, and it just kind of blew up from there. Yeah, you know, that's the beauty of the internet. Somebody comes up with one good idea, and you just never know how viral it's going
to
go.
That's right. How close are they to their? They had a goal of 20,000 people moving to New Hampshire. How close are they to that goal?
I'm not sure. I think they're like right around. I want to say like 14,000.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is you get 20,000 people to sign up. Nobody has to move out there right away, but once they hit that 20,000 goal, then everybody who signed up is supposed to move out there, you know, en masse. But they already have quite a few people out there already.
Well, they're already making a big difference in New Hampshire. I can remember back in the early 90s, there was one point where they had four libertarian representatives in the New Hampshire House. And that was pretty astonishing because typically third parties are absolutely shut out of the process. But it's very different in the New Hampshire process because they've got a huge legislative body and a very small population. It's one of the reasons why they were chosen as Free State Project, right?
Yeah, right. And as of right now, I think they have about a dozen people in the New Hampshire State House, which is a pretty big contingent.
And to give people
state.
Right, to give people the idea of what this is, I mean, in Congress we have 435 members. Mm-hmm. In New Hampshire, they've got 400, almost as many members as they do in Congress. And yet Congress is representing over 300 million people, whereas they're representing just over 1 million people. Basically, I looked at the numbers. Somebody in the documentary there said there's about 3,000, 4,000 people that each of them are representing. A U.S. congressman is representing about 550,000, over half a million people. So it's a lot more representative government. I remember when these four libertarians got elected back in the early 90s, and they said at one point, if you spend more than $1,000 getting elected to the New Hampshire House, they accuse you of trying to buy the election.
Mm-hmm.
And because they're only making $100 a year, right?
Yeah. $100 a year.
So it really is the vision that we originally had in this country of a citizen legislature. So when they move there, even in the numbers that they're moving there, they can really have an impact. But they're having an impact in other ways, too. As you pointed out in the film, there's two different factions, right?
Yeah, yep. There's the group that wants to change things through the political process, and then there's the group of, you know, voluntarists or anarchists or whatever you call them who want to work outside the system, who have just lost complete faith that anything can be done politically, and who even see political action as being, you know, immoral to a degree because it's all about forcing people to do things that you want them to do, right? So.
Right.
They try to do things, you know, whether it's living outside the system or, and this is actually a lot of stuff that we filmed that would have been great for this, but there's a lot of people that deal with black market economies, alternative currencies. There's people who just basically believe in living their life as free human beings, and the non-aggression principle is the core of, you know, their entire philosophy. And so they feel that they can do whatever they want, and as long as they're not hurting anybody else, it shouldn't matter. And that's the approach they take. Now, you know, they tend to get a lot of their people arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, if you're willing to do that, if you're willing to, you know, be drugged through the system like that, then, you know, by all means, do it. But
yeah, and in some states like Texas, you won't just be drugged through the system, you'll be drugged through the streets by the police. If you violate their laws. So there's a little bit difference in the police there as well. And they've had success in changing the police as well. I thought it was very interesting, the case that you pointed out there, where they had essentially carved out a place in Keene where they can smoke marijuana in public.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that gradually. They started meeting and they started getting a mass of people. When the police arrested one person, they blocked the car. The next day, they arrested another person. They blocked their car and then followed them to the police station. And 50 people lit up in the police station. So at that point, they kind of backed down. Now, that's interesting, but it's not the kind of reaction that, let's say, the Austin Police Department would have here against that sort of thing. So I can see the need for both types of reactions. And even in New Hampshire, we just had a breaking story. And I don't want to talk about this. The Concorde tank. Have you been following that story?
Yeah. I've seen that come up quite a bit. I know, a lot of the people that were involved in some of the protests against that. But yeah, that's a pretty ridiculous. And, you know, the reasons that were cited for needing this, this big armored vehicle were pretty ridiculous as well. You know, I mean, they basically came out and said, well, we haven't seen any kind of domestic terrorism yet, but, you know, we're presented with challenges from these people. So now apparently, you know, if you challenge the police, if you make their job challenging, you know, that's enough for them to label you a domestic terrorist and start asking Department of Homeland Security for a tank.
And we've been telling people this for years, 10, 15 years. Okay. Alex Jones has been telling people this. We broke the story of the MIAC report back in 2009, where after the 2008 election, they went back and said, all these Ron Paul voters and Chuck Baldwin voters, they're terrorists and potential terrorists. And if you see a bumper sticker on a car, treat them as a dangerous individual, which means that they're got their hand on the trigger. They're ready to shoot you just because you've got a bumper sticker. But it goes beyond that. I mean, we see a real militarization of the police. And just for people who don't know the story, fill in the details real quickly. The Concorde police chief requested a grant from Homeland Security for a $260,000 armored vehicle. And in that grant, he said New Hampshire's experience with terrorism slants primarily toward the domestic type. And then he goes on to say further down, he says, on the domestic front, the threat is real and here. Groups such as Sovereign Citizens, Free Staters, and Occupy New Hampshire are active and present daily challenges. I mean, that's about, you know, he's connecting the dots. Basically, he's calling them potentially terrorist groups, the same thing we've been seeing.
And New Hampshire is a hotbed of activism, absolutely. Yes. But, there, you know, even with that, there's no history of violence at all in New Hampshire. No, I take that back. There is a history of violence, but it comes from the police. It doesn't come from the activists. That's right. So, you know, I know the first thing that always crosses my mind whenever, you know, some belligerent bully starts, you know, threatening to do bad things to you, you know, my first thought is, hey, this guy needs a baseball bat. So that's essentially what's going on. You know, you have the police who have this history of, you know, their tasers and pepper sprays and arrests and everything else. And now they want a tank, you know, to add to that.
Yeah, it's kind of like the activists are kind of like the, you know, the motto is live free or die. The activists are kind of the live free side. And the police are kind of like the or die side. But I thought it was interesting because they really pushed back on this. It got some press.
Absolutely.
They had a huge meeting. They filled up the meeting. Let's play this clip of the meeting here real quickly.
Wall-to-wall people, some holding signs, many prepared to speak their minds about an armored vehicle that could be coming to Concord. He says in New Hampshire, terrorism slants primarily towards the domestic type.
Free Staters are productive people moving to New Hampshire because of the shared values with our neighbors of small government and more personal responsibility. We are not terrorists.
At that meeting, John Duvall, who is the chief of the Concord Police, kind of walked it back, but he didn't really. What he said was, the intent was that there are, quote, homegrown clusters. Now, that is Homeland Security code word for terrorists.
Right. So he still apparently that includes everybody now because, you know, even peaceful activists are homegrown terrorists. So,
right.
But what's great about New Hampshire is that they did stand up and they put a stop to it. You know, they're not getting their tank right now.
That's right.
And
they postponed it. They're going to, the city council kind of blinked and they said, we're going to revisit this back in September. So that was the 12th that they had that beginning of the week. This is
right. And what's really disturbing to me is not the fact that, you know, they tried to get a tank. Every police department in America is doing that. You know, they try to do that in, you know, this city here. But the fact that people just sit back and they, you know, just accept that and say, well, you know, they gotta protect us and so we need tanks. New Hampshire is not like that. The activists took to the streets. They protested it. They flooded the city hall meetings. I could not imagine that happening here in Stevens Point. There's just no way. Nobody would care.
That's right. And in New Hampshire, they also have pushed the envelope as far as fully informed juries. They did not require the, they got a law passed that does not require the judge to really tell the jurors that their rights and their duties are to judge the law as well as the facts of the case. But they did pass a law that prohibited the judge from punishing any defense attorney that would tell jurors what the real law is, because that is the law in most of the state constitutions. It's written in the law, and yet the judge will disbar attorneys who do that. They will threaten with contempt people who are representing themselves pro se. So that's a big step in New Hampshire. It's not all the way there, and certainly New Hampshire is not perfect, but boy, it's a lot closer to the kind of citizen self-government, the kind of original government this country really had, isn't it?
Right. They've been doing amazing work in just about every area you can imagine. You know, the judicial activism, you know, we see the political activism that goes on, you know, the people who are running for office to try and make sure that these disgusting laws aren't passed all the time. But yeah, the fully informed jury group, they're out there all the time. They're passing out information to people, you know, right on the streets of Concord. It's amazing. And you just don't see that anywhere else in the country. It's pretty sad. And then people, you know, wonder why, you know, they're not really that free anymore. Well, that's why.
Well, you know,
I can take it.
One of the things that came out of this meeting, and we played it on the news as well, was this retired Marine colonel at the meeting talking about this. And what he had to say was very striking. I wrote some of the comments down here. He saw a sign. I saw it too. It said, "More Mayberry, less Fallujah." And he went on to say he was in Fallujah. And when he went to Fallujah, he didn't have an armored vehicle like this to protect himself. So he was saying this absolutely isn't necessary. But his biggest thing was, he said his job was to train the Iraqi army, because we had essentially destroyed the Iraqi army. So they were training a new army there. And he said Homeland Security has a much bigger army that could take out that army in no time whatsoever. And he said, essentially what we're doing is we're building a domestic army and shrinking the military because the government is afraid of its citizens. And this is what this retired Marine colonel said: "I can't believe people aren't seeing it."
Yeah.
We can't believe it either. We've been trying to tell people that. That's the subject for your next documentary. You start talking about how that's happening.
Well, you know, it's kind of like, remember when they locked down that Watertown to go after the Boston bomber guy? You know, look what happened there. You know, the Fourth Amendment went completely out the window. You had people, you know, kicking in doors. You know, we saw pictures of snipers on top of rooftops, you know, trained at unarmed families. And, you know, it was just this completely disgusting display of tyranny. And what did everybody do after they finally got that guy? They took to the streets. They celebrated. They waved flags. It was a great victory.
Yeah, USA.
And then I would have discussions with people about that. You know, I would call it, you know, martial law, which is essentially what it was. And then people would actually argue with me that, oh, no, it was just a police lockdown, as though that justified everything and made everything all better.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the Marine guy saying that, you know, what, are we blind here? Yeah, we are.
And the other thing you hear is just following orders. And we're almost out of time, but I want to make one more analogy. In the film, you've got one of the guys who wants to take the civil disobedience route, and he's talking about how this is a Titanic. It's already struck the iceberg, and if the libertarians get control of it, it's going to be because it's already too late to do anything. They're going to blame it on the libertarians. Good point. However, I think the real analogy is not the Titanic. The real analogy is Auschwitz. And we've got to do something to stop this Anschluss right now that's going on. And when people want to say that we're just the police, want to say they're just following orders, they're just trying to protect their people, and when the citizens don't realize that we are what they consider to be the terrorists, you know, we're headed for some really dire straits. Well, Corey, thank you so much for doing that documentary. It's a great documentary.
I'm glad you guys had me on.
I recommend everybody, well, it's a great piece of work, and I recommend everybody take a look at it. It's at 20 minutes. It goes very quickly thanks to your excellent editing. It's Corey Kellyer. Thank you very much, Corey.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Well, films have the power to change people's minds. They have the power to wake people up, and there are a lot of people who have not woken up to the fact that they are targets of the expanding militarized police. People need to understand this and do something about it before it's too late. One of the ways that you can understand that and spread the word is to inform people about the war on drugs. That's really where it started picking up, where it really began. A lot of these violations of the Constitution and a lot of the police state tactics of SWAT teams and that sort of thing. Now, Kevin Booth, who produced American Drug War Number 1, America's White Hope, his now has a sequel, American Drug War 2, Cannabis Destiny. Kevin Booth's documentary focuses on the impact that it has on children and on his personal story in trying to be a foster parent. we see that not only are they withholding effective and safe drugs like marijuana, but they are forcing dangerous pharmaceuticals on children in foster care. It's a very powerful story, and you can get it exclusively from InfoWars on DVD. Well, that's it for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.